Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey everyone, welcome to The Laundry Hour. If you are new, I am so grateful to have you. I hope that this truly will be a place that encourages you to fulfill your extraordinary purpose as a stay-at-home mom or just as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you have been with me for a while, I'm excited that you're back, and I am excited that we are about to start a new series about how to love God and love others. I know that sounds like totally simple, but at the same time, like, so complex. So I'm really excited to just start and walk through it, because Jesus says that all of the law is fulfilled in those two commands. So it is worthy of our studying, of our finding, searching, and looking at. So I am going to say literally a lot at you. I just want you to know that. But I will put every scripture reference in the show notes, so that you can go back and look at it. I might even put the whole thing in the show notes if you want to go back and look at it, because it is going to be quite lengthy. But we are going to continue to unpack what loving God means for about, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months, and then we will do loving others for about 3 or 4 months as well. So with no further ado, let us start with Deuteronomy 6:4. That gives us that's the first time the Lord says, this is the command, this is the greatest commandment, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. So, loving the Lord, it seems, if you look at the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 6, directly ties to fearing the Lord and obeying his commands. Fast forward to John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And the command is to obey, or the command that we are to obey is to love him. Deuteronomy 11:13 actually says that. And it also says to serve him with all of your heart and your soul. So it's fearing the Lord, obeying his commands, serving him, are all loving him. Joshua 22:55 says, observe the commandment to love the Lord, to walk in his ways, to cling to him, to serve him with all your heart and your soul. Deuteronomy 13:3 says, one commandment is not to listen to false prophets who lead us from following the Lord wholeheartedly. And he gives us that command because it's a test to see whether we will love him wholeheartedly or not, whether we would follow him, whether we would listen to him, or listen and follow someone else. So basically, the love of the Lord looks like obedience, fear, service, clinging, walking in his ways, listening to his voice. It looks like wholehearted devotion to who God is, what he says, and his way of doing things. Okay, let's unpack what love is. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. Okay, so if we want to understand love, we need to understand God, which again sounds very complex. But God wants us to understand at least the parts of him that he's expressed to us. So we see his expressions of love by how he sent Jesus to die on our behalf. 1 John 4:9 through 10, Romans 5 verse 8, John 3:16, and 1 Corinthians 13, we see that love is patient, kind, rejoices with the truth, it bears all things, it believes all things, hopes all things, it endures all things. And then this portion ends by saying that the greatest of these, out of faith and hope, is love. Now we know that love is the greatest commandment. It's also the greatest attribute, as we see. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So God has shown us the greatest love. The Father and the Son have shown us that laying oneself down for another is what it truly means to say, I love you. He has been incredibly patient and kind to us. God suffered and is suffering through our sin by patiently waiting for the salvation of some. He endured the long years leading up to Christ and the long years leading to his return. The greatest rescue is still in progress. The Father's love is so patient and kind. And Jesus bore our sin on the cross. He believed in that it was the only way. He hoped in what his sacrifice would accomplish, and he endured the cross to the end. Jesus totally bore all things and believed all things, hoped all things, and endured all things. And Jesus is our earthly example of how we can lay our lives aside, more so how we can lay our will aside and accomplish the Father's will out of love for him. We see Jesus obey, we see him serve, we see him fear. We see him walk in God's way, the Father's way specifically. We see him listen to the Father's voice. We see him cling to him. Jesus always snuck away to pray. He always said what the Father had for him to say. He only did what the Father told him to do. He accomplished every plan and fulfilled every prophecy. Philippians 2:8 even says he was obedient to the point of death on a cross. Jesus loved the Father. And God loves us. So, as we look at what it means to love the Lord, it looks like laying our lives down for him as our way of saying we love you. Rather than serving myself, I'll serve you. Rather than fearing another, I'll fear you. Rather than obeying their voice, I'll obey yours. Rather than walking in my own ways, I'll walk in your ways. Rather than cling to whatever I think can satisfy me, I will cling to you. Rather than listening to all the voices in the world, I will listen to your voice. And so how is that loving? You know, it just kind of sounds like a good servant, right? But it all goes back to the garden. Though it may have seemed like the greatest setup in the world, like, God, why did you put the tree there? You knew we were going to sin, but God placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden because he needed to make a relationship with him come from a choice. For it to be real, both parties had to want it. We must choose God. We must choose to love him. We must choose to lay aside our own will for his. We must choose to lay aside our lives for his. That's what makes it love. So since we've been given a free will and a powerful mind, we have the ability to do what we want. We could not obey. Again, we can walk in our own ways, cling to other people's voices, serve our own interests, listen to like every voice that speaks, even a stinky serpent. And a person like this is an example of someone who is double-minded and headed for destruction. Why? Because they have no real direction, sense of purpose, and without God, life is meaningless. But someone who loves you chooses you. They choose to be with you, to walk with you, and cherish you, and know you. For us to say we love God, we are choosing him. And by default, that means we are not choosing other things. Like a stay-at-home mom, I'm choosing to stay home. That means I'm not choosing to go out. We are choosing God's will over ours. We are laying our lives down and picking up his. We are choosing to wholeheartedly give ourselves up for the sake of having God. And Paul says it like this in Philippians 3:8, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ. In order that we might gain Christ, we must lay ourselves down. Jesus says it like this in Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. Have you ever fasted I'm currently fasting. It is quite difficult to deny yourself pleasures that you so richly enjoy. But if anyone wants to follow Christ, that's what they must do. If anyone wants to love God, that's what they must do. But here's the promise. Jesus says in the next verse that whoever loses their life for his sake will find it. We're not just denying ourselves to deny ourselves. Like, what pleasure is in that? Fasting isn't just about not eating. It's about becoming closer to God. We are counting things as rubbish and losing our lives so that we might gain Christ, so that we will find our lives. Colossians 3:3 says that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. So quite literally, when we lose the life we have in ourselves, we are doing that to find a life hidden for us in Christ. And boy, do we gain so much by having a life hidden in Christ. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1. All things are yes and amen in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:20. We are fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him, Romans 8:17. He is preparing a place for us in his Father's house that has many rooms, John 14:2. 2-3, and we will get a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4, glorious bodies. Philippians 3:21, that will never weep, get sick, or die, and get to live with God in a royal city forever. Revelations 21:3-4. I know, that's a lot of blessings. But Paul is right when he says in 2 Corinthians 4:17 that this light momentary affliction we're experiencing in this world is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. It's these promises that fuel our loving denial of self, that we might gain Christ in God. We can deny our flesh, our will, our thoughts, our desires, so that we may gain eternal glory and life with God forever. When we first started this fast, I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Like, I want food. I want the thing I want. And sometimes it's really hard. But then also other times, it's really easy. Especially when the things you want aren't staring you in the face, because my mom had some fries and they smelled so good. But I felt truly empowered when I was able to say no. Like, we can say no to our will in order that God's will gets accomplished. Jesus said no to his will in the garden. It is the most beautiful, human, godly, painful, glorious moment where Jesus is weeping blood and says, "Not my will, but yours be done." What love that he would lay his life down, his own will down, to accomplish the Father's will. He laid his life down, yes, for us, but for the Father, in obedience to him. What love he had for him. Acts 1:8 says, we will experience power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We can have power. We can truly do all things in Christ who gives us strength. Strength to abound and strength to abase or to be brought low. Philippians 4:13. There will be moments when it will be easy to love God. There will be times when it will be like pulling teeth. But his promise still stands. He is our strength. There is glory waiting for us. And we will get to hear our sweet Father say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Matthew 21:15. So, the greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might or strength. God is basically saying, if I can sum it up like this, that if you work hard at loving me now, you will enjoy the pleasures of living with me for all eternity. I'll say it again. If you work hard at loving me now, you will enjoy the pleasures of living with me for all eternity. Will you continue journeying with me as we work hard at learning what it means to love the Lord our God? Let me pray over you. Father in heaven, I don't even know how to begin, but to say thank you for making us your children, for showing us what love looks like, for being love, for loving us. Without you, we would never know love. Because of everything you've done for us in Jesus, we get to feel cherished by you and chosen by you and wanted. And we get the privilege of returning the favor. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And you loved us by laying your life down. So we will love you by laying our lives down. Pour your spirit upon us that we may have strength and power to choose your will over ours, to listen to your voice over others, to serve your mission instead of our pleasure, that we would cling to you for life and hope and purpose. That we would fear you and not man. That we would walk in your ways and not the world's ways. That we would wholeheartedly devote ourselves to learning what it means to love you and then loving you. This is the most important thing we could ever do. Please help us not get distracted. Lord, please don't let Satan take the seed that has been planted in our hearts and our lives, but let it take root. Let it produce fruit. And treasure for us in heaven. Thank you for keeping us, for guarding us, for protecting us as the great Father that you are. We need you. Lord, help us love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you gotta have it, please write a review. I truly would love to hear what you have to say. And if you want more, tune in next week because we're gonna unpack some more, right? We're gonna unpack next week what it means to love the Lord with all your heart. The week after will be love the Lord with all your soul, in case you're curious. And then the week after will be love the Lord with all your might. So we're going to walk through those. And I look forward to it. I am grateful for how the Lord teaches us and walks us through his word. So I am learning and I'm excited to share with you. Again, if you would like to talk to me, because you totally can, my email is Jamie, J-A-I-M-E, Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S @gmail.com. Email me. Let's talk about how to love the Lord, your life, specific ways I can pray for you, because though I'm on a podcast, I am your sister and I love you. At least I'm trying to love you. So So I will leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I'm working on loving you.